Really a blessing to be gathered together and being able to know that we all have a common faith and salvation that we share in common in the Lord, and be able to come together on the first day of the week and partake of the Lord's Supper, offer up worship to God, is edifying and renewing and strengthening to our faith. And it's great to see all of you here today, and I hope you're doing well. Really blessed to have visiting with us today Dan and Sherry Nitre from Alaska, Soldotna, Alaska. And it's a real blessing to get to know you guys and have you with us today. I appreciate that you have made the effort to come and be with us here on the Lord's Day today. It's great to have Abby back with us from school, Florida College, this next few weeks. And really proud of Abby going and all the wonderful things that she is accomplishing there. Even got to go to Italy while she was there last year. So welcome home, Abby. And we miss Carter. Today is not feeling well. But it's great to see all of you. I want to invite you to open to Isaiah this morning, Isaiah 66, and we're going to begin by reading the first two verses, Isaiah 66, 1 and 2, and we'll talk about the context here and what the message is that Isaiah here is giving to the people of Israel. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord, but on this one will I look. On him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. I want us to think about the last part of that, trembling at God's word. Trembling is a reaction we have of fear that causes your body to shake or sometimes jerk. You know, you have a sort of a knee jerk reaction your body will do when you are scared something happens, an unexpected sound, or just some type of fear happens to you, and your body reacts, and you're shaking because of that. Well, Isaiah here is saying that is, we ought to have that reaction when we are reading the Word of God. And that seems odd to us for him to say that, because we know that he is not saying that we should be afraid to open and read the Word of God. It's just the opposite of that. He is encouraging us to read the Word of God. But that in doing so, we should not do lightly or casually, because we are dealing with God's Word. And that ought to be something that causes us to shake with fear, in the sense that we are in the presence of God and we recognize that we are opening and reading God's Word. And that is something that moves us. That is something that is very powerful. And so it is not something like we would pick up a newspaper or a novel or something like that, and we might read through a few of those and then lay it aside. The Word of God should not be like that in our lives. The Word of God needs to have a deep, deep effect upon us each time we open it. And as we look into God's Word, it ought to cause us to tremble. And so we want to look at that in the context of Isaiah this morning. What is Isaiah really saying here to the people of Israel? as we come to the end, really, of the book of Isaiah, realizing that he is closing, he is making a final exhortation here to the people. As we look into the book of Isaiah, we see that in the latter part of the book of Isaiah, chapter 40 through 66, Isaiah is really giving comfort to the captives of Israel who would be in the Babylonian captivity. And the amazing thing about this is that Isaiah is prophesying 100 years and more before this even begins. So he's prophesying of future events as fact happening within the nation of Israel and how that's going to impact their lives. He's explaining to them that the reason they are going to be carried into captivity is because of this very thing, that Israel does not listen to the Word of God. And that can be laid at the root of all of their troubles that they're going to experience in the coming days. They don't listen to the Word of God. It has no effect upon them. Even though the Word of God has been given to them as a special people, they do not listen to it as they should. And that is the reason that they have gone into idolatry. And because they have gone into idolatry, God is going to bring judgment upon the nation. The message that Isaiah is giving to them is that now, as they are going to one day return from this captivity, he wants to give them that hope. He wants to give them that comfort that they will return from the captivity and they will be able to rebuild the temple. You see, he's speaking long before the temple was destroyed. He's speaking about one day when it will be rebuilt. So he is seeing all of this by the eye of prophecy that has been revealed to him by God. But he's speaking to them to give comfort to the people. And it's because of that that he is concluding here in this final portion. Now, as you look into the book of Isaiah, beginning with chapter 40, he begins to talk about things that many of them are messianic in nature, pointing to the coming of Jesus Christ. And in chapter 40, it begins on that very note there, because he said, "Comfort, comfort my people. Speak comfort, says your God." And then he begins, "The voice of one that is crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Well, we understand those are words that is referring to John the Baptist. When John the Baptist would come, he would be the voice crying in the wilderness, preparing the way for the Lord. This latter part of Isaiah is really a message of the hope that God is beyond this captivity that is happening to the people, that is going to happen to them because of their idolatry and their sin. They are going to one day still be in God's wonderful plan of sending the Messiah, Jesus Christ, into the world. And of course, in Isaiah chapter 53, he speaks there about the fact that he would be the Lamb that would be slain and would give his life for the sins of the world. So it is a message of Christ. It is a message of hope. But at the same time, the people are going to be in captivity, and one day God is going to bring them back from that captivity to their homeland, and they will rebuild the temple. Now that is the setting here in Isaiah chapter 66, where he begins and he says, "Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne." Let me go ahead and finish these thoughts here before quickly saying that The reason for the captivity, once again, is the failure of the people to listen to the Word of God. The comfort is that He is showing them that God is going to still send the Messiah, and that their future lies in the fact of what is exhorting to them to seek the Lord, to listen to His Word, to learn from these past mistakes that have happened, to know that God still loves them and God still has a purpose for them, and God is going to fulfill His plans and purposes. So the message is, seek the Lord while He may be found and listen to His Word. So as we look here in Isaiah 66 and 1 and 2, He says, "Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all these things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word." When the people would return from the captivity in Babylon, one of the first things that they would undertake to rebuild the temple. And this happened, it came about through the leadership of Zerubbabel. As they came back out of the captivity, there was a group of the remnant of the people of Israel that returned, and they began to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. And God encouraged them to do this. In the book of Habakkuk, or Haggai and Zechariah, He told them to go up into the mountains and find wood and bring it and build this temple, the house of God. But Isaiah is pointing out to them, in doing this, don't have this misconception in your mind that there is going to ever be any house that can contain God. God is the maker of all things. He is not a God that, like the pagans that you are surrounded by, they think that they can build a temple and their God is actually going to be inside that temple. So they focus all their energy on the wonder of that building that is there, because inside that building, that's where their God is. And He wants the people of Israel to not fall into that and to understand, no, this is a place where you're going to be able to come together and worship, but this is not a house that is going to contain God, because heaven is God's throne, the earth is His footstool, and there's no house that can be possibly ever built that will hold and contain God. So do remember that God is spiritual. God is all powerful. God is omnipresent wherever we go. And so instead of that type of thinking, He says, I want you to understand that the person that I will look for is the person who is poor and contrite, and who trembles at my word. That is the person that God is pleased with, and God desires to have those people who, when they open God's word just like this, they understand, this is the word of God. I'm in the presence of God. I need to heed and pay attention, and I need to let this sink into me and have, where God is changing me and showing me the person He wants me to be. That's what God is seeking. He's wanting them to understand this, that where you have gone wrong, where the nation of Israel has failed, is because you have not listened to my word. And now that you have gone into this captivity and God has disciplined you as a nation, and you have finally been able to return and build this temple again where you can come together, please understand, this is not God living inside this building in some physical sense. God is wanting to communicate with us. He's wanting to speak to us, and He does that through His Word. And it's when that person trembles at God's Word that God is knowing that He has people here who get it, who understand who He is and why He has put us here in the first place. We're living today in a time that our nation has largely turned away from God's Word. And the problems and all the results that we are seeing unfolding in our country and in our world today can be directly traced to the fact we have forgotten the Word of God. And God today is seeking people who tremble at God's Word, who are contrite in spirit, and who, when we look at God's Word, we see that our sins are being reminded to us. And it is giving us the true picture of who we are, and that we need to humble our hearts and repent and turn back to God. And God will bestow His blessings upon us as a nation once again. The same things that were happening in the life of the people of Israel are still happening today. Isaiah says to the people in verse 3, "He who kills a bull is as if he slays a man. He who burns incense as if he blesses an idol. Just as they have chosen their own way, and their soul delights in their abominations, so I will choose their delusions and bring their fears on them. Because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not hear. But they did evil before my eyes and chose that in which I do not delight." Here again is the problem with the people of Israel. God called to them, but they did not listen. They did not hear what God was saying to them. They ignored it. They went on in their way through the idolatry. And even when they would come together and worship God, even in His temple, it was the idea that we can just, anytime we want, bring a sacrifice to God, offer an animal up to God, and it's going to take care of all the real problems that exist in our lives. And God says, "He who kills a bull is as if he slays a man." As far as God is concerned, when our worship is not given to Him from our hearts and we're devoting our lives to Him and coming because we recognize that He is the all-powerful God in our lives, then we might as well, if we offer an animal sacrifice, go out and kill a man. As far as God is concerned, neither one of them is right in His eyes. God does not accept that kind of worship. That is just an outward show. It is just going through the motions. It is having no transformative effect in the lives of the people. Verse 5, He says, "Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at His word. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad with her. All you who love her, rejoice for joy with her. All you who mourn for her, for thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream." You see, God wanted to bring peace like a river on His people. He wants them to be blessed. He wants to bless His people. He wants to return them and have them fulfill His purposes and His promises. But that is only going to happen when they will listen to His Word. And His Word has an effect in their lives. When we think about trembling before God, we naturally go back in our minds to the scene that day at Mount Sinai. In Exodus chapter 19, when the people of Israel came to Mount Sinai, the Bible tells us that God came down upon the mountain in His presence, and that the Mount Sinai was completely covered in smoke because the Lord descended upon it. It goes on to say the mountain was quaking exceedingly, and fire, and the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder and louder. I mean, imagine being there at Mount Sinai to witness those things and understanding and being able to actually experience the presence of God among the people. In chapter 20 and verse 18 and 19, it said that now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, "You speak with us, and we will hear. But don't let God speak with us, lest we die." You see, these people, they were literally trembling in the presence of God that day. Isaiah is saying that is how we ought to, though, be responding anytime we open the Bible and look into God's Word. We ought to make that connection that we are in the presence of God, just like those people were that day at Mount Sinai, and it ought to be making an impact upon us. But so many times it doesn't. We pick it up and we say, "Oh, what does that one say over there?" And okay, we're done with that. And the Word of God does not have that effect in our lives that it needs to be having. It's just something that sometimes we go through a Bible study and we look into it and we think, "Well, that's interesting, and here's what this word means." But in the reality, in the deeper sense of the daily life, is God's Word really sinking in and having an impact in our lives? That's what it needs to do. Otherwise, what are we going to do? We're going to drift into idolatry, just like the people of Israel did. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, in verse 12 and 13, Moses said to the people here, he says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes which I command you today for your good." Notice that. He says, for your good. These commandments that I give you, I'm not just giving them to give you something to keep you busy, to some kind of test that I'm putting there. I'm giving you these commandments for your good. And what is it that God requires of you? To fear the Lord and to walk in His ways and serve Him. That's what God wants of us. And so oftentimes, though, we become occupied with the things of this life, and we forget the things of God. So in Isaiah chapter 55, beautiful chapter here in the midst of this, where he has explained to them that God is going to send his Messiah, and his Messiah is going to suffer on behalf of the nation. In that beautiful passage there in Isaiah 53, that we have talked about so much, and understand that that's the fulfillment of Jesus coming and dying for our sins on the cross. But immediately after that, in Isaiah chapter 55, we see that Isaiah is then giving the invitation to the people. And he says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me here, and your soul shall live." God is inviting them to come to Him. And He is saying to them, "I will give you abundance. I will give you milk. I will give you food. I will give you the true things of life that will satisfy. Why do you go out and spend your money on things that do not satisfy?" And that is a message for us today as well. But he's saying, no, the true blessings are the blessings that I'm offering to you. I'm giving to them for free. You can come and receive these. I'm giving them away freely to my people who are willing to receive them. He continues in verse 6. He says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." He's showing us here that, once again, when we look into God's Word, we need to forsake our thoughts and adopt His thoughts. Because God, in His Word, is revealing to us His thoughts, which are above our thoughts, as the high as the heavens above the earth. And let the wicked forsake his way. Anytime we look into God's Word and really make an application that here God is speaking to me, He is exposing what I need, what the errors, what the sins of my own heart, and He is giving me the instruction that I need to correct those, to become like Christ, to be transformed, to be God's man or God's woman, and to have our lives lined up with God's will. As we were talking about that, Ted was talking about that in the Bible class this morning, to be grafted in, to have our lives lined up with God in His purposes. And that is what the Word of God is designed to do every time you open it. It doesn't matter where you open the Word of God. It still is going to have that effect in our lives and our hearts if we allow it to do. To do that, to have that effect upon us. So seek the Lord while He may be found. And Isaiah is lining up the two things. He's saying that you listen to my word, you seek the Lord. Those are one and the same thing. When we look into God's word, we are seeking the Lord. It's Himself that we're seeking. It's not just a book. It's not just something that we intellectually look. We're getting to know God. We are going to line up our lives with Him and acknowledge Him as our Lord and our Creator. And He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And we need to understand this. We as Americans today, as living in the 21st century and having the access to all of the modern advances of technology, and we can go and we can read our email and we can check things out online each and every day, God is saying, look, my thoughts are not your thoughts. And that is the problem that we have, is that we want to rely on our thoughts. And we won't even open God's Word many times. It's lying there on the table. It's not opened. And we are having our thoughts lead and guide our lives from day to day. And the result of this is man's thoughts produce idolatry and wickedness and darkness. That's what it leads us to when we lay aside God's Word from our lives and we rely upon our own thoughts for this life that we are living in. And there are many types of idols. People of Israel were worshiping a golden calf. They made a golden calf right at Mount Sinai while Moses was on the mountain. But there are many kinds of idols that people construct. And make no mistake that that's what happens when we don't listen to God's thoughts. But God has revealed His will to us in His Word. And God's Word always delivers the impact and the results that God promises it will in our lives when we allow His thoughts to come in and replace those thoughts of ours, and we understand, well, I see it now. God doesn't think the way we think. God does not have the perspective that we would otherwise have. But when I look into the Bible, I began to understand life as God created it to be. And as He wants me to think, and as He wants me to conduct myself, and as He wants me to think of others around me, and what things are really valuable in this life. He said, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Just as we see the rain falling, that is God's creation. He brings down the rain. And sometimes here in the Northwest we think, "Lord, please don't bring down so much. We've got plenty." But nevertheless, God's Word, He rains down upon us. And as seed for the sower, the buds come forth, and we see the beautiful life, a production of life that continues year after year. He says, "So shall my word be, goes forth from my mouth, shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please." And if you'll look into God's word and you'll read God's word and you'll make the application in your life, it will change you from the person you otherwise have been to a new creation, a new person. God's word is living and powerful. And in the book of Hebrews, the Hebrew writer goes back and he looks at the past and he looks at the nation of Israel. And he reminds them of how they had failed and not to make that same mistakes again. The book of Hebrews, it begins on the very note that says, "God, who at various times and various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things." So we have the Word of God in a complete sense, because we can turn back and we can read the Old Testament, and those are the things that God spoke through the prophets. But now we can turn over and we can read where God speaks to us through His Son, Jesus Christ, in the New Testament, and we have the full and completed Word of God. Don't do what Israel did in the past. He says in Hebrews 3, 7 and 8, "Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness." When they came to Kadesh Barnea and they sent forth the spies to go into the land, and God was going to give them the promised land. And they were right on the border of the land. And 10 of the spies, they came back and they said, "No way, we cannot do it. The cities are walled cities and they have giants in the cities. And we cannot conquer the land." And there were two, Joshua and Caleb, that said, "Yes, we can. Let us go up and conquer it, because God will give us the victory." But they wouldn't listen to that. They hardened their hearts. And so He says, "Do not do that again. Today, if you will hear His voice," God is speaking to us in His Word through His Son. And He has fulfilled all of His purposes and His promises. He said, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." God's Word is powerful in our lives. It is living and active. And that word "active" means energy. It comes from the word to be energized and to be within itself, contain that energy of being able to transform our lives. In Hebrews 12, he says, "For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire. But you have come to Mount Zion and the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant and the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. It's the same God. We're not going to be standing at Mount Sinai and see that quaking mountain that they saw that day. But when we open God's Word, we're listening to the same God that was there at Mount Sinai, and He's just as powerful as He ever was. So why don't we understand the fact and get the fact that God is speaking to us in His Word, and we need to tremble whenever we are listening to God's Word, because that is the power that it can have. God is speaking to us. We need to listen to God. Otherwise, we're on a path to idolatry, and that is going to bring judgment upon us and upon our world today, that we do not listen to God's Word, and we choose to rely on our own thoughts, and that is going to take us to the very place that Israel found out that it led to the downfall of their nation. Isaiah says, "But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and he trembles at my word." There are those of you today that are here and need to respond to God's word in some way today to commit your life to him. We're going to stand and sing the invitation. But I want to challenge each of us that in this time of year and in this coming of a new year that is coming before us, that we need to make an understanding of God's Word and the importance of it in our lives. And not just when we come together on the first day of the week. It needs to be something that is there in our lives every day that we live. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We're going to stand and sing, and if you're subject in any way, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.